If today's your first time with us, welcome. We're really, really excited to have you. And every week here at Hoboken Grace, we're celebrating different individuals' stories because we say here every week that no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, that God is pursuing you. But rather than you just hearing us say it, what we want to do is we want to give you the chance to be able to hear how that's happening in different people's lives who are sitting right beside you, the people who are on this journey with you. And so you hear Sandra's story. It's amazing how God pursues us. And sometimes in the darkest of moments, he comes in and he's able to bring hope and he's able to bring life where it seems that life has ended. And so as we come together today, not only are we celebrating Sandra's story, but we're also celebrating so many other things. We're celebrating this incredible series that we just walked out of, where we've been encouraging one another and exploring the beauty of this God that we serve and how he truly is a God who encourages the discouraged. And we've been celebrating that all morning long. We're going to continue to celebrate that as we move through the rest of this year, because I think it's just done something really beautiful inside of our church community, where we're beginning to grab hold of this idea of encouragement. And okay, how can we step into one another's lives and encourage one another with everything that we have over and over and over again? How can we truly become a community of encouragement? We got so many different things to celebrate. Not only are we celebrating Sandra, not only are we celebrating this series that we walked out of, but then also over Thanksgiving, we had something interesting happen. You guys, or some of you, you've been with us throughout the summer, so you are aware of the fact that earlier in the year, the mayor recognized what we were doing inside of our city, and we received our first award ever, or our first recognition ever here at Hoboken Grace for the impact that we're making and the way that we're loving people. But then over the Thanksgiving break, that went to a whole different level, because not only did we have what we had received from the mayor, but then there's an organization inside of Hoboken called the Hoboken Quality of Life Coalition, and every year they get together and they give awards to the organizations inside the city that they think are making the greatest impact towards the betterment of our city. And over the Thanksgiving break, we were actually given one of those awards, which is incredible. And we, not only that, we were also recognized by the state legislature in hand with that, and we were given something from them. They call it a citation, right? Which doesn't sound positive. When I get a lot of citations on the front of my car every week, right? So do you. If you live in Hoboken, and I'm like, this doesn't sound positive, but it looks positive, so good, right? But it's just been really, really cool. And we're just celebrating the fact that not only are we able to love people, but it seems that God is using that in people's lives, where people are noticing and saying, wait a second, something's different here. And ultimately, that's been one of our goals from the very beginning, that people would look at what we're doing and that they'd say, wait, it seems like something is different here. Because for many of us, and for those who live beside us and those that we work amongst, for a lot of our lives, we've looked at church, and for most of us, we've looked at church not just as something that may be irrelevant, but for many of us, we've looked at it as something that's dangerous. Because of the way that we've been hurt by church in the past, because of the fact that it seemed that every time we came in contact with it, all it was judgmental, whatever it may be, we've looked at church not just as irrelevant, but also as dangerous. And for many in our community, they look at the church that way. And so from the very beginning, we came in and said, we've got to change that. We've got to live with the true love of Jesus Christ so that we can begin to help them see that, no, you don't have to be afraid of church. Church is supposed to be something that's good and beautiful. It's supposed to make the community better. And it's just been amazing to see how God's allowed us to be able to do that, and the success that we're seeing in that. It's really, 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 really cool, and something to be celebrated on multiple, multiple levels. And we're celebrating all this, but we're not just celebrating what's behind us, but then we're also celebrating what's in front of us. And my keys are really awkward in my pocket today, sorry. But I added a key. You ever just add like one too many keys? I added one key this week, and my keychain got real weird. It was one key, but whatever it is, I can't keep them in my pocket anymore. So We're not just celebrating what's behind us, we're also really celebrating what's in front of us. And we've been preparing for what's coming up over the next few weeks for the last couple of months. And next week, we walk into Christmas. How many of you are excited about Christmas? Yes, good. That energy will decrease every week from here on out. But right now, we're all really excited about Christmas. It's going to be great. We're going to have so much fun. And not only are we celebrating what's going to be happening just as far as Christmas is concerned and family and all that, but we're celebrating what we get to do as we come together as a family here for Christmas. And for the next couple weeks and for the next couple services, let me tell you something. If you have been looking at someone, you're like, I really want to introduce them to who Jesus Christ is. I want them to be able to see the beauty of what he's doing and what we're about as a church. Listen, the next couple Sundays and our Christmas Eve service are the perfect chance for you to be able to do that. And we're starting this series. It's just called Christmas. We're talking about how hope emerges from darkness. You connected with that story that Sandra just told. It's just how God is constantly moving into the darkest of moments. How, man, when Jesus Christ comes on the scene for the nation of Israel, it is dark. It is as dark as you could possibly get. And yet in the midst of it, there's this hope that arises. And how God is constantly bringing hope into the middle and the midst of darkness. And it's going to be an incredible, incredible celebration wrapped up with our Christmas Eve service on the 24th, Christmas service on the 21st. It's just going to be awesome. And so go ahead, begin inviting now. If you're making your plans, make sure that you plan to be here, especially on the 21st. We're celebrating this together as a family. And the 21st is one of those days where you can invite someone all year long and they say no, because but then on the 21st they'll say yes, because here's the thing: Christmas and Easter, this is what we do, right? Christmas and Easter, I'm in. So this is your chance. This is your chance to be able to invite them to be a part of this. And so I encourage you to do that. As we look to next year, we're really, really, really excited. Our dinner groups right now are moving into our break period just because people are moving different directions and parties and all sorts of things going on. And so our dinner groups are taking a break for the month of December. But beginning December 26th, the signups begin for those dinner groups. We're moving into January. We begin coming together for our 2015 dinner groups. It's going to be an awesome, awesome year. I think I'm more excited about next year and what we're looking at and what we're talking through than I have been for many years here at Hoboken Grace. It's going to be really, really, really exciting. And so we've got so many different things that we're celebrating that God's allowed us to be part of. We have so many different things to look forward to as we move into this next year. But I want to take this week, and for those of you who've been around Hoboken Grace, you know that I like to be able to take these weeks between series to be able to talk about something that's happening inside of our family. And I like to be able to use these to be able to address things that we just need to talk about as a family. And so today, I want to talk to a percentage of you. The truth is that this message isn't for everyone, but it's going to benefit you no matter who you are. But I want to specifically talk to a percentage of you. I want to talk to a percentage of you who, as you come in, you're like, man, you know, I love my church. I want to talk to those of you who love your church. Even if you're visiting from another church, but you really love your church, it doesn't matter what church it is. You say, man, I just love my church. And I think for most of us, we love our church. And there's all sorts of different reasons for that. And it may connect with you in different ways. But maybe it's the fact that, man, you just love the impact that we're making. And you love being a part of a church that doesn't just talk about loving people, but actually loves people. And you love it. And you love the way that you're able to be a part of that impact. Or you love the music. Or you love the way that you're able to worship. You love how we're walking through God's word together and how we're not just looking at learning things, but we want to apply things. We want to build them into our lives. That man, you just love your church. And maybe it's the baptisms, the lives that you see changing, the lives that you see being impacted. As a matter of fact, I know because of the fact that we're in multiple locations and that the baptisms take place in different locations, I'm aware of the fact that you don't always get to see all of them. And so this past week, we put together a little video. I want to give you a chance to be able to see the baptisms that have been taking place, not just at this location. And some of them you'll recognize because they took place here. But then also for you to be able to see over the last 2 months, the baptisms that have been taking place across our locations. So if you guys would, just check this out. How awesome is that? Man, it's just incredible. And so maybe for you, you love your church because you see the lives that are being changed and how God is bringing people to himself in this way. Or maybe it's the way that as you stepped in and you're a part of this church that you're beginning to understand grace. And maybe for the very first time, you're hearing about this thing called grace, that God actually, as he looks at you today, that he's excited about you. That you don't have to be afraid of him, but that you can run to him. And the way that your view of God has changed, and you're beginning to see that why they called it the good news as opposed to what you had experienced in the past. I don't know. It's for all of us, there's different things, but I want to talk specifically to those of you who you say, man, I love my church. And I want to talk to those of you who are here and you're in that place. You're like, man, I love my church. But yet at the same time, even as, and I had this conversation with people quite a bit after the services in different places, they'll come to me and say, man, I love being a part of this church. I love our church. And I want to talk to those of you who are in that place. You love your church, but yet at the same time, you don't have any plan of how you're going to support the church that you love. You don't have any plan of how you're going to financially support the church that you love. And it's not that you don't give. It's not that, you know, as I walk past that orange box in the back, you know, if I have something in my wallet, I'm going to give it. Or it's not that you don't give, but we're talking about like actually being prepared to give. In other words, actually coming in with a plan of, okay, now this is how I'm going to support it, whether it's that, okay, I'm setting something up online, or this is how I'm going to support it through the way that I prepare to give as I walk into the space on Sunday morning. But you actually prepare, that you have a plan to give. And I want to talk to those of you who are here. Again, this isn't for everyone. And for those of you who are here for the first time, right? This is not for you. I want to be really, really clear about that. And you can just sit back and relax and you know, help yourself to the donuts and coffee. But I encourage you, you're like, well, if it isn't for me, why should I stay? You're going to learn a lot about us. And I want to share with you something that's really, really interesting about Christians, right? And right now I know your friend that you came because your friend invited you, and already they've leaned over to you and they're freaking out right now. Okay. They're freaking out. And they lean over to you already, and they're like, it's not like this. I don't know what's happening. This guy never talks about money. And they're about to have a small heart attack, all right? But you're fine because, you know, listen, he can say whatever he wants. It's not going to impact you. So just sit back and relax. We just want you to enjoy it and just kind of take this in. And you're going to learn something really, really interesting about Christians and the way that we interact with this and the way that we look at this. And something that's kind of a little bit irrational about us. Specifically inside of our culture and the way that we look at this. So this isn't for you, but for those of you here, and you say, man, listen, no, I love our church. I love our church. I want to talk to those of you here, you're like, man, I love our church, but you don't have a plan as far as how you're going to support the church that you love. You know what you call a dad who says, man, you know what, I love my kids, but he doesn't have any plan on how he's going to support them. And he's like, well, you know what, listen, if they really, really need it, I mean, if the soles are falling off their shoes, then maybe then I'll give something, or I'll provide for them in that way. You know what you call that, dad? A bad dad, right? It's not complicated. It's a pretty easy thing. You're just a bad dad. You know what you call a Christian who says, man, I just love my church. I love my church. I love my church. I guess it's amazing the way that I'm interacting with God and the way that I'm able to be part of this mission with him as I'm a part of this church and the dinner group and the way the dinner group has changed my life. You listen to Sandra's story and, man, I stepped into that dinner group and everything began to change for me. They say, man, I love my church. You know what you call a Christian who steps in and says, man, I love my church, but they don't have any plan of how they're going to support that church? An average Christian. Some of you thought I was going to say bad Christian, didn't you? You're like, oh my goodness, it's going to get tense in here. This is going to be crazy. To say he's going to call every bad Christian. No, here's the thing. You know what you call a Christian who loves his church? Man, I love my church, I love my church, I love my church. But they don't have any plan on how they're going to support the church that they love? That's an average Christian. It's average. When you look across our culture, when you look across our country, the truth is that the churches who are meeting this morning are filled with Christians. And some of them, they walk into church and they're going out of duty or whatever, or tradition, and they don't really love their church. But for a lot of them, they go and they say, man, I love my church, I love my church, I love my church. But they have no plan of how they're going to support the church that they love. And I want to talk to those of you who are here today and you're in that group. You love your church, but you have no plan on how you're going to support the church that you love. And you find yourself in that situation where you are an average Christian. If you're part of Hoboken Grace, you know that the last thing that I want for you is for you to be average in any way, shape, or form. I don't want for us to be average in anything that we do. The last thing that I want for you is for you to be an average Christian. I don't just want for you to be able to know Christ and to step into that relationship with him. I want you to excel in everything that you're doing in that relationship with him. I want for you to be everything that you were created to be. We talk about this all the time, that we can experience the fullness of who God is and we can begin to engage in this mission with everything that we have. The last thing that we want is to be average. I think that's true of you too. No one says, you know, I just really, my dream for my life is that I could be average. I just hope, man, I pray every day I could be an average dad. No one says that. If you do, we should talk after the service. Just meet me down here. It'll be a long conversation. But none of us are there. We don't believe that. We don't think that. I don't want that for you. And the truth is that as a church, in much of what we do, we are not average. When you look at our engagement and community, the number of people that we have inside of dinner groups and the things that are happening as we're serving, the number of people that are serving, the truth is that we are not average. But when it comes to this, and we've been working through these numbers and looking at next year and predicting our budget and all these different things, when it comes to this, here's the thing that's a little bit disappointing and a little bit frustrating. When it comes to our giving, here's the thing, guys, we're average. We're average. And even though for many of us, we would walk in and say, man, I love my church. I love my church. I love what we're doing. I love being a part of this. I love how it's impacting me. Even though we come in here and say, man, I love my church. The truth is over 80% of us, or right about 80% of us, are not actually consistently supporting the church that we love. And again, it might be that, you know, listen, if I have it with me, I'll give. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who are consistently and have a plan in place of, okay, this is how I'm going to support the church that I love. And the mission that I love. And the mission that I want to be part of. And as we were walking through this and we were looking at these numbers and Nick, if you ever meet Nick, he runs our dinner groups and he's also like a numbers freak. He's like a true accountant. Some of you are out there, you're really accountants and you start showing us spreadsheets and we're all like, what is happening? But Nick's like this. He can put together a spread. If you just paid him and said, listen, I'll give you $2 a day and your job is doing spreadsheets, he'd probably take the job because he just loves it. He loves numbers that much. And he's been working through all these numbers and laying all these things out for us. And I get like 50-page breakdowns of what's happening inside of our church family. And as we're looking through this and looking at the giving, and we looked at this fact that over 80%, or right, I think it's just at 80% of those who, man, we love our church, but we're not consistently supporting it. When I looked at that, to be honest with you, my first response to it was just, it just hurt my feelings. Then I went in the back and cried for a good half an hour, and I came back out to the meeting, and that was good, okay, right? But then I started looking at it, and I said, well, wait a second, are we just doing a bad job of leading? Are we doing a bad job of leading? And I think in some ways that I have done a bad job in leading. I think that I haven't understood the fact that we don't understand what God is teaching us about how to be able to interact with our finances. And the beauty of what God wants to see happen in our lives in our finances. And as we move into this next year, we're doing a lot to be able to look at, okay, how do we do that? We're launching, we actually launched and we're moving forward with this thing called Financial Peace University, where we're not just going to be talking about what you should do, but we want to teach people how to be able to live financially free lives. I love the word, the guy who runs it, his name's Vinny, I love the word that he uses. He says, we want to allow people to have dominion over their money. So you control your money rather than your money controlling you. And teaching people how to be able to do that. And I think in some ways we haven't led the way that we need to lead as it pertains to this area of what we do. But then I also started looking at, okay, why is it that we don't have a plan? And why is it that, man, we come together, man, I love my church. I love the mission. I love the vision. I love where we're going. But we don't have a plan. And I think there's a couple different reasons. For some of you, you just never thought of it before. So right now, it's over for you. You're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And already, you're like, I wonder what my... And you're starting to put together your plan. But you never thought about it before. Maybe you're new to this whole thing, and you've been a part of this, and as you're looking at it, you go, no, I want to support the church I love. But you never thought about it before. And so for you, it's just a matter of thinking about it and talking about it. Okay, now I'm going to move forward. I want to do that. I'm going to do that. What's your plan? See, I think this is a fair question. What's your plan for how you're going to support the church that you love? For some of us that we never thought about it, that we haven't thought about before, I think for more of us, it's the fact that as we look at this, we just haven't taken the time to sit down and work through it. And the truth is, I don't just want you to have a plan for how you're going to give. I want you to have a spending plan. I want you to have a giving plan. I want you to have a savings plan. Right? I think all three of these are important. Listen, I don't have a plan for how I'm going to give. I don't have a plan for how I'm going to save. I'm going to have a plan for how I'm going to spend. That's called a budget, right? Some of you have it. Those of you who are laughing, maybe not. But some of you are like, budget. Is that French word? You really haven't like wrapped your mind around this whole idea, right? But we want for you to not just have a giving plan, but to have a plan. Again, I love the way Vinny says that you control your money, not that your money controls you. And for us to be able to move into our lives and to live in such a way that we give and we save and we live. That we give and we save and we live, and that we give and we save and we live. If you're over 35 and you're here today, the truth is you look back at your life, and for most of your life, you think to yourself, man, I wish I'd lived that way. I wish I'd lived that way. You know why? Because you know you'd have more money. I look back on it now. I'm like, man, I wish I'd lived that way. I wish I'd lived that way before I had these three little people who take everything I have. What did I do with all the resources I had before these people came along? Well, I'm talking about my kids. For those of you who don't know, there aren't like three little people who are taking everything. But that's probably an inappropriate joke. Okay, so. But we wish that we lived that way. Why? Because we'd have more money. We understand that it's a wise way to live. But we haven't sat down and we haven't actually put a plan in place. What's your plan? And I want to encourage you, if you're here and you're like, man, you know what, I want to have a plan, but you haven't. One of the things that our team has done this past year is just done a phenomenal job of giving you resources to be able to plan well as far as how you're going to give. And whether it's your push pay and your ability to be able to just set up, listen, every week or every month, you know, I get paid on a monthly basis. And for me, it's every month. As soon as I get paid, I just know, like, okay, I'm going to give. And so I set it up in Fellowship One where it's just like, you know, automatic debit. And I know that I'm giving because I want to give to the church that I love. What's your plan? It's a fair question. And I think for some of us, maybe we never thought about it before. We haven't taken the time to be able to sit down and lay out the plan, or the time to be able to set up the plan. But then there's also this other category, and I think a lot of us are in this category. And here's the thing: if you're not a believer, this is the part that's a little bit irrational. Okay, and I know you came here today and your friend invited you, you decided to come, you're like really, I don't know about these Christians and they believe some irrational things and you think that. This is one of those irrational things that we actually believe. So I want to let you in on this. Please don't share it because it's a little bit embarrassing, okay? But for many of us, the reason that we don't have a plan of how we're going to support the church that we love is because we think, well, the church doesn't need my money. The church doesn't need my money. And the way that that plays out is this. For some of you, you used to attend another church. Either right before this or maybe years ago, and you gave up on church for a while, or maybe even as a kid, you attended another church. And in that church, you know what they talked about all the time? Money. They talked about all the time. And every week there was like this new need, and this need had to be met, and you had to be able to, and listen, we're not going to make it to next week if you don't give, and you're talking about giving, 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 and there would be like a 15-minute mini sermon at the end of every single service, and they'd be walking through, this is why you should give, you need to do more, you need to, and they talked about money all the time, and they'd pass these baskets right through the service, and there'd be someone singing a sad song, and it'd be like, oh, you need to give, and if you don't give, the children, they're all going to die. And you're working through this, right? No, listen, I attended that church too. So, and some of you went to churches, they didn't just pass the basket once. They passed the basket twice. Just in case you forgot the first time, or just in case you felt more guilty as it came by the second time, right? Whatever it may be. And you went to this church, and they talked about money all the time. And they'd be like, listen, you know, the kids don't have a snack this week because you didn't give last week. And so if you please give this week, we can give them a snack next week. And You're working through this. And so you know what you did? You gave. You didn't give cheerfully. You weren't excited about giving in any way, shape, or form, but you just felt so guilty. And the person who handed you the basket, like they just watched you. You're like, oh, crap. And you're like pulling out your wallet. But you gave. But eventually you got to the point where you're like, man, I don't think it's supposed to be like this. I just don't think it's supposed to be like this. And so you know what you did? You left. You left. And then you came to our church. A friend invited you, whatever. And you walked in and you're like, okay, when's the basket? When's the basket coming? What's the sad song today? But you know what didn't happen? They didn't pass a basket. And then They mentioned giving, but it was like 15, 30 seconds at the end of the service. And you sat there and you're like, it's over? And there wasn't any like sad stories, and there wasn't any, and you're like, man, wow. I like that. And you went out and you said, well, that's probably just a weird week. Probably a weird week. I'll come back next week. And the next week you came back, same thing happened. You're like, ooh, I could get used to this. And you saw the orange boxes at the back. And there's just these, and they're not even big boxes. And they're just little boxes by the back, and you realize, man, even if I wanted to, I could go out the side. I don't even have to walk past the boxes. This is incredible. I can't believe it. And they never talk about money. It's amazing. I love it. I love this church. I love the way they handle money. Never talk about money at all. And you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, man. And you'll hear us sometimes, you'll hear us talk about what we're doing, and we'll say like, man, thank you so much for those of you who are giving, because this is, it allows us to be able to do this and allows us to be able to love. And we're talking about one day, and we're talking about, you know, the way that we're caring for or training our dinner group leaders or whatever it may be, right? Like, we're talking about these different things. We like just want to thank those of you who are giving. And you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself, man, wow, there must be some real generous people around here. And you kind of watch the orange boxes on your way out. You're like, but you don't really see a lot of people putting stuff in there. Like, man, I wonder how this works. You start to think to yourself, man, there must be some magic money around here. must be something magical here. Money just... And you start to think, well, listen, this church doesn't need my money. And the church I used to attend, you gave because you felt guilty. But now they don't talk about my money and they don't, you know. Looks like they're going to make it to next week without me. And here's the irrational part. Here's the irrational part. You won't attend a church who needs your money. And you won't give to a church that doesn't need your money. So you'll never actually give to a church you want to attend. You'll never actually give to a church that you love to attend. You're like, I love this church. I can invite my friend. They never talk about money. And then this week, the whole thing just blew up on you. You're like, I love this church and the way that they interact with this. But because of it, you don't give. Let me ask you something. What am I supposed to do with that? Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Should I go to the staff and be like, hey, listen, Dana, we got to figure out some way to like be real irresponsible with our money. And we got to figure out, or listen, guys, let's get together. Let's dream up some need. What do we need? What do we need? Or how can we create some type of disaster or something that we can go up and a sad song that we can, sad story that we can tell to be able to get people to give and create that atmosphere. And Anthony, you need to go out and find us some orange buckets, right? Find us some orange buckets that you can like hear the change falling into, right? So that we know if people are giving during the song and we're going to pass this. What am I supposed to do with that? This is, it's so irrational, but this is the way that it works for so many Christians across the country. We don't want to attend a church that needs our money, but we won't actually give to a church that doesn't. And this isn't about, okay, how can the church get your money? This is about where we're going. This is about where we're going and what we believe God wants to do inside of our family. And we understand this on a base level. For some reason, it gets irrational with church, but on a base level, we understand this. So the truth is, you know, when you interact with companies, you don't support the companies that you support because of the fact that they need your money. Right? When Circuit City is going out of business, you aren't like, oh man, they really need my money. I'm going to go shop there. No. You support the companies that you support because you love what they do and you want what's going on there and you want to be able to work with a company that actually does what they do well. And so you love Apple because, man, they do things so well. Or if you're on the other side, you love Android because you don't know how a phone should work. Or you love Starbucks because they do what they do so well. But I think it's crazy that for so many of us, we actually give more to those companies than we do to the churches that we love. And again, whether it's this church or another church, whatever it is, and yet at the same time, when something begins to fall apart in our lives, when we come to that point where we go through the loss like Sandra was talking about, or we come to that point where, man, I just need help. Where do we go? We go to the church that we love. And you know what, as a church, you know what we love? We love to be able to care for people in those moments. We love it. I love to be able to sit down, and every week, Anthony and Wayne and Milius and I, we sit down and we talk about the different conversations we're having in people's lives and how we're able to care for people. Our dinner group leaders get together and talk about all the different ways that they're able to care for people. We love it. And you know what never ever happens in those moments? You know what never ever crosses our mind? You know what we never do? We never look at someone's giving record. What's your plan? What's your plan to support the church that you love? And when you look at this, the truth is, and it's kind of amazing, that everything that you see that we do is actually supported by the 20% who have a plan. And it's remarkable to me that we're able to do what we do with just 20%. I mean, that's remarkable. And some of you are here and you're part of that 20%. And I want to just take a second and I want to say thank you. Because you are doing an amazing job. An amazing job of accomplishing this mission through your giving. And it's remarkable to me that we're able to do what we do with just 20%. But here's the thing, guys, here's the thing. As we move through the end of this year and as we look towards next year, we don't want to just do what we've done before. We want to do better. We want to do more. But in order for that to happen, we need for the other 80% of you to develop a plan of how you're going to support the church that you love. This past week, I had one of the organizations that we work with here inside of Hoboken contact us, and they were saying, you know, they were laying out what they're doing. It was amazing how God's using them, and they're like, look at what's happening. This is what we're looking to do this next year, and so we'd like to ask you to increase your giving. And I wrote back, right now, I really can't. We can continue what we've done before. We can't really increase it moving into next year. I don't want that to be who we are. I don't want for us to just be average. If we're going to continue to move forward with this mission, we need for the other 80% of you to develop a plan. You understand it. You understand why it's necessary. We need for you to begin to develop a plan of how you're going to support the church that you love. What you're a part of now, you're a part of because those who've come before you, some of which you know, some of which you don't. The reason that you're able to consume what you consume here on Sunday mornings, the reason why you're able to be served the way that you are served as a part of our family, is because of the fact that there are those who sit beside you and those who've come before you who decided that they were going to have a plan of how they're going to support the church that they love. And they didn't give because there was a sob story. They didn't give because there was guilt or pressure. They gave because they believed in the mission that we're working to accomplish inside of our city. They believed that God wanted to do something new and unique inside of Hoboken that would begin to change the way that our city looks at and interacts with the church and who Jesus Christ is. They believe that God wanted to use it to bring people to himself, the people that we've seen come to Christ this year and the years and in the years past. You need to have a plan. What's your plan? It's a fair question. What's your plan of how you're going to support the church that you love? And the truth is that as we come to this today, we could go into and walk through several different passages in God's Word. And I'm going to share two of them with you really quickly, but I think for most of us, we know this. We understand it. And you look at 1 Timothy, it talks about giving, and the scriptures are constantly teaching us about giving, how we need to be giving. In 1 Timothy, it says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. In Acts 4, it talks about how as a church, they did this together and how they're giving to the church so that they could accomplish this mission together. And so it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, town, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. And so you see they're bringing it into this church. But the truth is, and we could go through other passages, but as we come to this point this morning, the truth is, I think we know this. We understand it. But for a lot of us, we just haven't done it. What's your plan? And no matter what you decide about this, or no matter how you move forward with this, whether you're willing to come up with a plan or not, there's a couple things that I promise you. I promise you that as we move forward, that I'm going to do everything that I can to be prepared as we walk into Sunday mornings. And I'm going to give all that I can to help us continue to understand the beauty of God and to be able to understand the fullness of His love and His grace. I promise you that we will continue to hire staff and continue to bring together teams and leadership that will work relentlessly to make sure that we're moving forward in this mission to help you not only to experience God, but to bring God to the world around you. I promise you that we're going to continue to impact our community as much as we possibly can. We're going to give as much as we possibly can so that the community looks at us and continues to say, wait a second, there's something different. There's something different. I promise you that we're going to do all that we can so that every single week when you walk into our spaces and you walk into our services that it's a space where you know you can invite your friends, where there was not a single hesitation about whether or not you could invite someone to be part of this. That it's welcoming so that the moment that they walk in, they feel right at home. I promise you that we're going to continue to serve you regardless of whether you give or not. I promise you that we're going to continue to work to make sure that no matter where you are in the world, that you can continue to be part of our family, so that if you're traveling on business, you can watch online for free at any time. And I promise you that Anna and I will continue to give a minimum of 10% of everything that God gives us to our church family. Because here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. And here's what those who've come before you knew. Here's the thing. The church is the hope of the world. Because Jesus Christ has given us His message and His name to carry, not in vain, but with passion and purpose. And God is doing something amazing inside of our family and inside of our community. In so many ways, our church is anything but average. But in this way, unfortunately, we've settled for average. Those who gave to allow us to get to this point gave because they saw a vision, because they saw what was possible. Let's continue to do what we started 6 years ago. And I want to engage you in this question. What's your plan to support the church that you love? And just come up with a plan. Even if it's just, you know what? All right, listen. I'm going to put together a plan. I'm going to give $5 a week. Every week, I'm just going to give $5 a week, which, to be honest with you, for most of you, is a pretty pathetic plan. Okay? For some of you, like the college students who are here, great. Wow. That's awesome. But for the rest of you, it's not a great plan. So, but whatever it is, even if it's just that, at least it's a plan. Put together a plan. As we move into this month, we move into a month of giving. And next week, we're kicking off our our Christmas offering. And this year, our Christmas offering isn't going to go to specific organizations. It's going to go to establishing a foundation for us so that as we move into next year, we can love better than we did this year. So if we move into next year, that we establish, and our goal as we move through this month is that we want to raise $200,000 in the month of December. That's going to take every single one of us. That's going to take every single one of us. But we want to raise $200,000 so that when we hit the ground January 1, 2015, and we have a foundation under us where we can move in and we can begin to interact with these organizations that are around us, and we can begin to interact with everything that we want to do this next year with freedom. And we don't have to worry about, okay, are we going to be able to, and are we not going to be able to, and how do we, we want to move into this next year with freedom. To be able to love in a way that's so much more powerful than we've ever loved before. So that as we come alongside of organizations like True Mentors, and we come alongside of Hopes, and we come alongside with One Day, and all the different things that we want to do this next year, that we can do so better than we've done before. So that when people come to us and say, listen, we've got this need, that we know that we have the ability to be able to meet that need. What's your plan? I want to challenge you as we move into this month to pray about, okay, God, how would you have me give to the church that I love, the mission that we're on? How would you have me be a part of establishing this foundation? But not just as a one-time thing, but then to look at next year and say, okay, what's my plan to support the church that I love? I think God's got some amazing things in store for us. And I think one of them is that he wants to move us from being average to being exceptional in every area of our life. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that today as we walk through this conversation, that you would allow us to be able to see the beauty of how those who've given before us has impacted us and where we are today. How it's allowed us to be loved in the way that we've been loved, how it's allowed us to hear the message that we've been able to hear, how it's allowed us to be able to establish this amazing relationship that you've allowed us to be able to establish with our city and with our community. And Father, I pray that as we move out of today, that we would not just say, okay, yeah, I need a plan, or I want to have a plan, but to be able to move into this next week and begin to develop a plan. I pray that as we give this month, as we celebrate you through giving like we do every year, that as we give this month, that we would give above and beyond. That we would look at it and say, okay, how can I just in gratitude celebrate you with the way that I give? And Father, I pray that we will begin to move from average to exceptional. I pray that we would be able to love even better than we have in the past because of the way that we give. In Jesus' name.